Thank you. Cha-cha-cha-cha. Cha-cha-cha-cha. Here and there.
Here and there.
Pralobhayan.
Pralobhayan.
Luring with food.
Luring with food.
Translation. There was once a hunter who lured birds with food and captured them after spreading a net. He lived as if appointed by death, personified as the killer of birds. Purport is just one line. This is another incident from the histories. That's 51. We do love the basic food. Kulinga Mishnam Tatra Vichara Samadrishyata Tayo Kulingi Sahasa Buddha Kena Salopita. While wandering in the forest, the hunter saw a pair of Kulinga birds. Of the two, the female was captivated by the hunter's lure. Sasajata sichastantriyam mahishya kalayantrita kulinga samtatapanam nirishya vrishadukita snehara kalpa kripanam kripanam paryadevayat. O queen of Suyogya, the male kulinga bird, seeing his wife put into the greatest danger in the grip of providence, became very unhappy. Because of affection, the poor bird, being unable to release her, began to lament for his wife. Aho akruno deva sriyakarunaya vibhu kripanam mam anso chantya dinaya kim karishyati. Alas, how merciless is providence. My wife, unable to be helped by anyone, is in such an awkward position and is lamenting for me. What will providence gain by taking away this poor bird? What will be the profit? Kamam naya tumam deva kim ardena mano kime dinena jivata dukham anena vidurayusha. If unkind providence takes away my wife, who is half my body, why should he not take me also? What is the use of my living with half of my body, bereaved by loss of my wife? What shall I gain in this way? Katam tvajata pakshamstam matrahinam vibarnyaham manda vagya pratikshante nidime mataram praja. The unfortunate baby birds, bereft of their mother, are waiting in the nest for her to feed them. They are still very small and have not yet grown their wings. How shall I be able to maintain them? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The bird is lamenting for the mother of his children because the mother naturally maintains and cares for the children. Yamaraj, however, in the guise of a small boy, has already explained that although his mother left him uncared for and wandering in the forest, the tigers and other ferocious animals had not eaten him. The real fact is that if the Supreme Personality of Godhead protects one, even though one be motherless and fatherless, one can be maintained by the goodwill of the Lord. Otherwise, if the Supreme Lord does not give one protection, one must suffer in spite of the presence of his father and mother. Another example is that sometimes the patient dies in spite of a good physician and good medicine. Thus, without the protection of the Lord, one cannot live with or without parents. Another point in this verse is that fathers and mothers have protective feelings for their children, even in bird and beast society, not to speak of human society. Kali Yuga, however, is so degraded that a father and mother kill even their children in the womb on the plea of their scientific knowledge that within the womb the child has no life. Prestigious medical practitioners give this opinion, and therefore the father and mother of this day kill their children within the womb. How degraded human society has become. Their scientific knowledge is so advanced that they think within the egg and the embryo there is no life. Now these so-called scientists are receiving Nobel Prizes for advancing the theory of chemical evolution. But if chemical combinations are the source of life, why don't the scientists manufacture something like an egg through chemistry and put it in an incubator so that a chicken will come out? What is their answer? With their scientific knowledge, they are unable to create even an egg. Such scientists are described in Bhagavad Gita as Maya Aparita Jnana, fools whose real knowledge has been taken away. They are not men of knowledge, but they pose as scientists and philosophers, although their so-called theoretical knowledge cannot produce practical results. Very much for coming to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the presence of their lordships, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, and the other devotees. The example given by Yamaraj, who appeared in the form of a young boy to speak transcendental knowledge to the relatives of King Suyogya after the king had died. Yamaraj is the lord of death, but more than that, he's one of the Mahajans, one of the great authorities in Krishna consciousness. And out of compassion for the relatives of the great King Suyogya, he came in the guise of a child, because children are innocent and people are generally more comfortable with children than with adults. On the flight here, there was a mother with a young child sitting next to me. And then across the aisle, there was a young lady. And she kept turning and looking at the baby and smiling and making eyes, which she never would have done to an adult. But she felt comfortable with the young child because they're innocent, they have no malice, and they have no capacity to really harm you. So Yamaraj came in the guise of a boy, but because he's actually Yamaraj, the great authority on Vedic knowledge, he spoke profound truths to relieve the suffering of lamenting relatives. And within the course of his discussion, he told the story of the hunter and the birds, that the female bird was captured in the net of the hunter, and her husband began to lament for the loss of his wife. And he also lamented for the condition of his children, who would be bereft of their mother. And while he was lamenting in this way, pitiable way, the hunter released an arrow and killed him. That comes in the next verse. So by lamenting, he achieved nothing. He just wasted his time without any benefit to himself or anyone else. And in the end, death came and took him away. So the purport of the story is that we should not lament for the loss of material things. If we have to lament, we should lament for the fact that people are not becoming Krishna conscious, or lament for the fact that we are not developing love for Krishna, but not for the loss of things in the material world that can never be brought back. Our spiritual life is eternal, but our physical bodies are temporary. And no matter what we do to preserve them, eventually they will be lost. So we should rather use our time for the benefit of the soul, which is eternal, and our relationship with the Supreme Soul, Krishna. Nitya Nitya Nam, Chaitanas Chaitana Nam. That there are many eternal living beings, but there is one supreme eternal being. And there are many conscious living beings, but there is one supreme conscious being. And that one supreme eternal conscious being is maintaining all of the other living beings. So we have a natural eternal relationship with Krishna, and we should use our time and energy to develop our relationship with him. And that is the process of Krishna consciousness. And in Kali Yuga, the main part, or the main practice of Krishna consciousness, the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
By chanting the holy names without offense, the heart becomes cleansed. Chaitra Garpana Marjana. All the dirty things within the heart are cleansed. And what are the dirty things? Srila Prabhupada said the first dirt, the primal dirt within the heart is the conception that I am the body. Because we identify with the body, we think not only I am the body, but we think that everything related to the body is mine. My children, my house, my car, my money, I mean mine. But actually, nothing really belongs to us. First of all, because it didn't come from us. Everything comes from God, so actually everything belongs to Him. And also, we can't keep it, so how can we say that it's ours? Srila Prabhupada gave the example that on this continent, the original inhabitants were the Red Indians. And then the white men came and took the land away from them and said, this is our land. And now they want to keep foreigners out. There's so many restrictions on immigration. They think this is our land. We don't want it to be taken over by anyone else. So while we're alive, we think, you know, this is my land, this is my house. But time will come and you leave your body and then where's your land? And where's your house? The man was lamenting for his children. What would happen to my children? In the meantime, death came and took him away. One devotee told Srila Prabhupada that, you know, there is concern that the supply of petroleum will be finished. There will be no more gas to run the cars. And Srila Prabhupada replied that they're worrying, oh, there will be no gas to run the cars of our children and grandchildren. But they're not thinking that they're going to take birth as an insect and into the back of the car. They're so worried about both their children and grandchildren. What about you? You're so worried that there won't be gas to run the car, you're going to be a cockroach in the back seat. So, people are illusions by the Bhagavad concept of life. And the illusion is strengthened by the statements of the scientists and doctors and professors. Srila Prabhupada mentions chemical evolution, that by some combination of chemicals, life began and then it evolved into different, more advanced forms. But Srila Prabhupada also makes the point that if you're so advanced in knowledge of chemistry, why don't you make an egg? Anyone can take an egg, it's not very difficult. And you analyze the chemical ingredients of the yolk and the white and the shell, and you synthesize an egg and put it in an incubator and let a bird come out. But they can't do it. Even though they're so advanced in chemical analysis and synthesis, they can't create life, that's the point. They can't create life. Life comes from life. So that means that life is not a product of chemical combination. Life exists not because of the chemicals, but because of the soul, which is of a different energy. And the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that he has two energies. One is the separated material energy, birth, But apart from the separated material energy is the spiritual energy, which are the living entities. So that's our actual identity. We are spiritual energy. And when a spiritual particle enters into the egg at the time of fertilization, then conception takes place and the body develops around the soul. The embryo develops and then she takes birth. So the scientists are so reckless in their statements that without any proof that they can produce life from matter, they say that matter arises from a combination of chemicals. And that there is no life within the womb. And therefore, it's all right to kill the unborn babies within the womb. And therefore, they're less than animals. Animals have natural tendency to protect their offspring, both before they're born and after they're born. But the human beings in Kali Yuga become so degraded that they're less than animals. They do horrible things like kill their own children that even animals don't do. Srila Prabhupada had a disciple named Haran Sori, and he was actually Prabhupada's servant for some time. And he told Srila Prabhupada that his mother had actually planned to get him aborted before he was born. And then the grandmother just had it, thought, oh, it'd be nice to have a grandchild, let him live. It's so good, so cruel to their own children. So this is Kali Yuga, the worst of ages, in the sense that the people are the most degraded. But although it's the worst of all times, it also offers the best facility to become Krishna conscious and go back home, back to Godhead. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 12th canto, there's a description of the anomalies of the age of Kali, and the description is really bad. I mean, we're seeing it, how corrupt people are and how degraded they are. But at the end of the description, Shukadeva Goswami encourages King Parikshit, who's hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, says, Kalo Roshan Nidhi Raja, that this Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. An ocean, there's no limit to. Kalo Roshan Nidhi Raja, Asti Hieko Mahagunam. But there's one great quality in Kali Yuga, and that is Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya. Mukta Sangha Param Vraja, that just by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can become free from all the material contamination and go back home, back to God. And therefore, we put so much emphasis on the chanting of the holy name. Krishna movement, the Hare Krishna people. that is actually the only method that can free us from the terrible influence of Kali and elevate us to the spiritual position where we become completely free from all miseries. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Stevana, 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 Tiranita. And you chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names of Lord Hare Krishna. There is no other way, no other way, no other way for success in the age of Kali. So we should chant and chant and chant. Whenever we have any opportunity, we should chant. Even within our minds, we can chant. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada was saying how a devotee always thinks of Krishna, Manmana Bhagamadva Kriya. And he gave the example of King Ambarish. He was the emperor, but still survived on Krishna Padara Dinda. He was thinking of Krishna. We're thinking all the time. It's not that our activities stop because we're thinking. We're always thinking. We read the day before yesterday that during the daytime a man is like daydreaming about how important he is. And at night he's dreaming that he's enjoying with a woman. But he's just dreaming day and night. But it doesn't stop his activities. So we daydream and we night dream, but our activities go on. That thinking, of course, that thinking is illusory, but that thinking doesn't stop our activities. We're at the office, we're doing our work, but we're daydreaming. We're at home, we're taking care of the household, but we're daydreaming. We think about so many other things. It's not that thinking interrupts our work. Of course, there is some work that requires concentration, but most work allows us to think about other things at the same time. So Srila Prabhupada is making the point that the thinking process is going on, and all your work business is also going on. So think of Krishna, and all of your other business can still go on. Just like King Ambarish or Arjuna, he was in the middle of a battle. He was fighting and killing people and trying to save himself from being killed. But he was thinking of Krishna. So Manmana Bhagamat Bhakto, we have to think of Krishna all the time. That is Krishna consciousness. And if we think of Krishna all the time during our life, then at the time of death, we'll also remember Krishna. And yam yam bhavi smaram bhavam, whatever our thoughts are at the time of death will determine our next life. So if we think of Krishna at the time of death, we'll go to Krishna, we'll go to the eternal kingdom of God, and live with Krishna, and play with Krishna. But we have to practice now, avyatsiyopayuktena, to practice now, otherwise if we think of everything else now, then how will we think of Krishna at the time of death? So we have to practice now. And the best way to practice thinking of Krishna again to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I always think of Srila Prabhupada's lecture in Los Angeles. He said, don't speak nonsense. If you've got, don't waste time. If you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. We're so prone. We think of nonsense and we talk about nonsense. The thinking is there and the speaking is there. We don't have to change the process, we just have to change the subject. So instead of thinking about nonsense, we think about Krishna. Instead of speaking nonsense, we speak Krishna consciousness. And then at the time of death, Ante Narayana Smriti, we will be able to think of Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead, and then our lives will be successful. And if our family members and friends that we care for also chant Hare Krishna and become Krishna conscious, then we'll all be reunited in the spiritual world. And that desire to hold on to our loved ones will be fulfilled in a completely pure, eternal, blissful, spiritual way. That we'll all be together in our eternal home with Krishna. And that is a great value of Krishna consciousness, which can be achieved by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? There's another point about working for material benefit, which is that we are allotted a certain amount of happiness and misery according to our past karma. We have a certain destiny. We enjoy a certain amount and we suffer a certain amount. And that is fixed. In fact, that is another argument for the existence of the soul. Because if life was simply a combination of chemicals, well, basically the chemicals in every atom are the same. The chemicals in every sperm are the same. So everyone should come out the same. But actually, everyone comes out different. Everyone's an individual. Some people are very intelligent, some are less intelligent. Some are very beautiful, some less so. Some have extraordinary skills and talents, and some are not so fortunate. So why is it that someone comes out a brilliant musician, like Mozart? He was composing symphonies when he was 5 years old, 7 years old. And why is it that someone comes out and can't even keep a beat? It's because every soul is individual, and every soul carries with him his destiny, his karma based on his past activities. And therefore everyone is distinct, everyone is individual. And everyone has his own particular combination of pains and pleasures that come with the body. And there's nothing you can do to change it. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that just like now, so many Indians want to come to America. America's full of Indians. Well, it's good for the country, but you know, they're everywhere. They're in the engineering schools, they're in the medical schools, they're in the computer industry, in the motel industry. Because they think that if they come to America, they'll enjoy more. Generally, that's why they come. So previously, before the age of intercontinental air travel, within India, people would think if they went to Calcutta, Calcutta was the great city in India, so they would think if they go to Calcutta, they'll become happy. So in Indian languages, the word for forehead is the same as the word for destiny. And the idea is that your destiny is written in the lines of your forehead. They also say it's written in the lines of your palm. You have people that will read the lines of your palm. Oh, you have a long lifeline. So, same with the forehead. So, there was a saying that even if you go to Calcutta, your forehead will go with you. Meaning, your destiny will go with me. There's one story from Persian literature that I got Brother Rinderstru Prabhu quote sometime. That there was once a wealthy man near Baghdad, and he sent his servant to the marketplace, to the bazaar, to purchase some things for him. And in the marketplace, he bumped into death personified, literally. And he, death personified, looked him right in the eyes, and the servant became terrified that death is coming to get him. So he ran away from the marketplace, went back to the master's home and told him what happened. And he said, you know, death has come for me. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to Samarra. And he fled to Samarra. In the meantime, the master went into the bazaar. And there he also saw death personified, and he asked him, you know, my servant said you jostled him and you looked at him with menacing eyes. Why did you do that? He's terrified. And death personified said, no, I wasn't looking at him with menacing eyes. I was just surprised to see him in Baghdad because I have an appointment with him in the afternoon in Samarra. So, we can't escape our destiny. Our destiny will follow us. So, the conclusion is that we should not waste our valuable time and energy trying to increase our pleasure or decrease our pain in this body. Because a certain amount of pleasure and pain is destined to come to us with the body based on our past activities. Rather, we should use our valuable human form of life to realize God, to advance in Krishna consciousness, because our destiny will come. As Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, if someone is protected by Krishna, even in the jungle, he can live. And if someone is not protected by Krishna, even at home in the presence of the parents, he can die. I have a very nice Ayurvedic Vaidya, Ramakant Mishra. And one of his ancestors comes from a long line of Brahmins. One of his ancestors was the astrologer. Now, some people might question astrology, but astrology really means understanding what a person's destiny is, what a person's karma is. And everything is so perfectly arranged by God that you can read it in the forehead, you can read it in the lines of the palm, you can read it in the configuration of stars and planets when the person was born. But there's so many ways. You can read it in the person's face, different parts of the face represent different parts of the person's destiny. Different decades of a person's life are revealed in different parts of the face. That by their bodily construction, by their shadows. I mean, it's such a science. Srila Prabhupada said that astrology is the most advanced material science. It is material, no doubt. It's the most advanced material science. So Vaidya Mishra, one of his ancestors, was in the court of Vikramaditya, who was one of the great kings of India. And Vikramaditya had these jewels, they called them Navaratna, these nine jewels in his court, and his ancestor, the astrologer, was one of them. So he did the horoscope for the king's son, the prince. And he concluded that on such and such day, the boy will be killed by an animal. And so the king was very upset. He consulted other astrologers. They said, no, he's not going to die. So the king was very happy. And, you know, those kings wielded a lot of power. And, you know, so the king, he didn't like what the other astrologer was saying. So he put him in jail. So the appointed time came. So the king made all arrangements. You know, the prince, young boy, was not allowed out of the palace. There were no animals allowed in the palace. There were guards around the boy, and the day passed, nothing happened. So the king was very happy, everyone was very happy. Then in the evening, as the boy was walking into his bedroom to take rest for the night, a flag, not a cloth flag, but like a metal flag, actually it was gold, with the king's insignia on it, somehow it fell from high up on the wall and struck the boy on the head and killed him. So then, apart from all the lamentation about the death of the boy, there was the question, what? He said it was going to be an animal, but then they looked at the king's insignia, and it was a boar. He was killed by the boar on the golden flag of the king's palace. And so then the king released the astrologer. He got the name Varaha, because Varaha means boar, Varaha Mahara. And then the king reinstated him in his court and gave him a big reward because he felt guilty because he'd thrown him in jail. And actually he was right. So destiny
can't escape our destiny.
The only thing we can do is become Krishna conscious. And it just so happens that because Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Authority, he can change our destiny if he wants. He's higher than destiny. Materially, we cannot escape our destiny, but if we surrender to Krishna, sarva-dharman prityajama mikram sarva-nukajama, aham tvam sarva-papya gimmoshe isyami masucha. We surrender to Krishna, he will free us of all sinful reactions. And that's why we suffer, because of sinful reactions. So he can actually change our destiny. Like once an astrologer, we were with Srila Prabhupada in Indore, and some astrologer came. We were very new in India, we didn't know how to respond to different situations. So we asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, he wants, like this in the service, he wants to look at our palms and tell our faces. So Prabhupada, I guess, took it in a light way, said, yeah, let him come, let him say what he wants. So he's going around to the different devotees, telling them their futures. And then after he left, we asked Srila Prabhupada, what about all this? And Srila Prabhupada said, it doesn't affect devotees. Because just by clapping your hands in the kirtan, all the lines are washed off. So you're free from all that. So we should surrender to Krishna and depend on Krishna. And whatever happens materially, there are going to be pains and pleasures in any case, whether you're a devotee or not. But at least you'll be Krishna conscious, which means that internally you'll be happy, no matter what happens externally. And at the time of death, if you think of Krishna, then we go back and home back to God. But superficially, it's true. Ordinary people have suffered and joy, and externally, devotees also suffer and joy, but internally it's true. Sometimes people say, well, you know, you chant Hare Krishna, you die, we eat and drink alcohol, and we die, so it's different. Eat and drink and enjoy. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the cat. The jaws of the cat. When the jaws of the cat get a rat, that's death for the rat. The rat is finished. But the same jaws pick up the cat's kitten, and it's like a loving movement that the mother cat is taking her kitten to some other place. So the jaws of death for an ordinary person is just like a cat pouncing on a mouse and devouring it. But for a devotee, the jaws of death are like the cat picking up the kitten and taking the kitten where the mother wants. So for the devotee, death means that Krishna's taking us back home, back to Godhead, to live with him. And for ordinary people, death just means the body's finished and everything that they loved, that was related to the body, is also taken away from them. So yeah, superficially everything seems to be the same. But internally, the devotee's consciousness is different. And not only is his consciousness different, but the reality is different. Ordinary people are just suffering the reactions to their karma, whereas devotees are experiencing the loving care of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Any questions? questions or comments? Yes?
Well, from the point you were making, the last point about our destiny and how that is basically fixed, and that the solution for us is to surrender and not necessarily have to experience or at least be able to experience from a different perspective. Would you say that since we may not be able to fully surrender, I mean, it's a process, it's difficult sometimes to fully surrender Krishna, but to the degree that we surrender, our destiny, the pains that we might experience are mitigated? Is there a relationship between them?
Yes, he's saying that if we surrender to Krishna, Krishna takes charge of us, but we may not be able to surrender all at once. So is it true that to the degree that we surrender, to that degree Krishna takes care of us and we're free from our past karma? That's true. It really depends on the quality of our chanting. But if we chant without offense, we become free from sinful reactions. There are six results of pure devotional service. The first is kleshavini, which means relief from material distress. And the second is shubhada, which means pure devotional service bestows all auspiciousness. And those two effects are experienced in this stage of sadhana bhakti. Then there are other to experience in the stage of Bhava Bhakti in the last two, like Krishna Akarshani, one attracts Krishna. That comes at the stage of Prema Bhakti. But this relief from material distress, that comes in the stage of sadhana. But once you practice seriously, once you try to chant attentively and avoid offenses, one can feel it. Not even as soon as he joins, as soon as he chants, he'll feel relief. And Shubhada bestows auspiciousness. That auspiciousness has different aspects, and one of the aspects is happiness. So even in the stage of sadhana bhakti, one experiences happiness. And one develops good qualities. And in the state of sadhana bhakti, you can feel the results of the giving. Well, even more so as you continue to progress. Any other questions or comments? Okay.
Got my Maharaj.